C-158. Number 1B.
And so, I always try to say to myself, well, I open that book, I read whatever is the subject and which I may have read already 100 times, I say it doesn't matter. Accepting I would not know anything about it, I say to myself. I read it as if I had never read it before, as if it would be the first time I read it. And also, I say to myself, I don't care what I will find. I don't care what truth will be revealed to me. And I try not to outline in any way or shape or form what should be the result of my study. In such ways, I really try to get away from a false mind, from a preconceived or from a prejudiced mind, and be completely blank, so to say, but open, therefore, to what the text is really saying to me. And that's really the attitude which Mrs. Eddy had, that she felt always that she had to listen to principle and not to talk to principle. To listen, I remember that Mr. Dole in the class said that God is a state of speaking and man is a state of listening or of hearing. And that's what is so necessary if we want to see more what God is and the nature of God is. That we are not talking to God and hoping that he listens to us, but the other way around. That we see that God is a state of interpreting itself and interpreting itself, but that man is a state of receptivity. And in order to be receptive, one has to be completely free from any preconceived notions. Well, these are a few indications on the way or the method how to approach the text. Now, when we start 2 years ago, I felt that I would like to have these meetings, these talks, under the big heading of life as spirit. And it may be a long time since we have talked about this point, and so I want to come back to it, because it seems to me one of the most important points that we see from which standpoint we are working and from what standpoint we want to go on. What does it mean, life in and of spirit? Well, let's take first life. What does life mean? I always have a feeling that life, to understand what life is not so easy as at the beginning one has thought. When one has first studied the synonyms, one thought, well, life is a very easy synonym. And the more one goes on, one may find that one hasn't been so clear about this concept of life. So let me go through a few fundamental points on life. We know that life is God. Yes. All right. If life is God, then life is not my sense of life. Then life is not what I consider to be life. You know, these are so simple statements, but when one ponders them and thinks them over, one can see how dualistic We are in our consciousness. So God is life. Therefore, I must be quite clear that life is not that what I consider to be life. That life is not that what I believe is life, what my sense of life is. God must be therefore, if God is life, must be therefore a sense of life which is very different from my sense of life. What then is it? And so we may go on and see that the textbook says there is only one life. Therefore that tells me, all right, then that is not true, what I always consciously or unconsciously believe in and feel, namely that there is such a thing as my life, as an organic life, as a social life, as a business life, as a material life, as a worldly life, as a family life. If there is only one life, then I must be quite clear that my sense of life is not life, and that my various senses of life, because life is one, that my sense of many lives is not life either, that it is a misconception of it. So I come closer and say, all right, we know that life is indivisible. If there is only one life, then life is indivisible. That means I cannot have my own life. That suddenly shows to me I cannot not have my own life. The only life there is God. Or in other words, that shows me already that if I want to live life, that I have to give up my own sense of life. That's very big. If we ponder that for a few weeks or months, we begin to see why it seems that it sometimes seems that all what we study and love in science, that it doesn't seem to live. Because our sense of life is not right. And you want to try to put something into a sense of life which is not life. That life lives because it's God. And that if I want to have life, I jolly well have to see that undivided one life, which he has, is something very different, completely different from my sense of life. From my sense of life. Therefore, we know that life is not only undivided from God, because there is only one life, but that it is also individual. And again, we make usually a short cut or a false reasoning and say, all right, I have my own individual life. No. See, I separate myself at once from God. I say, therefore I have my own individual way. I have my own individual life. No, I haven't. If there is only one life, then my individual life is that life which is undivided from the life that is God. That's my individual life. That life which is undivided from the life which is God. Therefore, individual life in its proper sense means to live that life, to have that sense of life which is God, and only God. And that opens naturally a completely new concept of being and of life. Because that opens up that concept of life, which says only that which is God is life. And what is God? Well, God is mind and spirit and soul and principle and life and truth and love. And only my individuality, my undividedness with that is life. Therefore, What does it therefore mean to live life? To live life, to be alive? The answer that comes is, only that therefore is living life with a capital L, which is of the nature of mind, which goes to spirit, unfolds to soul, to principle, to life and truth and love. Only that is life, only that in us, in our consciousness, which when it goes to mind, and when it goes to spirit, and when it goes to soul, and to principle, and to life, and truth, and love, only that is life. All else is not life. You know, that's the bigness of it. I think that's the point which is breaking through during the next 50 years or so, because it's the keyhole into the millennium. It's quite clear. To see that we are not going out from our sense of divine life, from my sense of divine life, what we consider to be a holy life. We go out from that, we go out from wrong basis. And we try to demonstrate a life which is not God. And that's why we get so many struggles. What we will see during this weekend is the oneness of being in these chapters. I will try to show every chapter from the point of view of the oneness of being. And before we can do that, we must see first clear the point of life in and of spirit. That life in and of spirit, which says, only that is life, and our individuality or indivisibility in life, which is one with life, which is God. What is that God? That God is mind and spirit and soul and principle and life and truth and love. What, therefore, is our true life? Our true life is therefore only that in us, which is going to mind, which is going to, you see, the going to spirit, the going to soul, the going to principle. Jesus said, I go to the Father. It's always the way of life. The way is the going to. When one is on the way, one is going to. And the way of life is that in us which is going to mind, which is going to spirit. That's only life, and the only life that is everything, every other concept of life isn't life. That's the new life. That's what Jesus always was saying, I go to the Father. And if you go to the Father, go to the Father. There is only one way. I am the way, the truth and the life. You know, these are the things which one once gets a little bit, a touch of it, which just fills oneself with a bigness and a freshness of you, which can see that if it is true that those 1,000-year periods are fulfilling itself, and it seems that through history it is proven that up to now the 6th millennium has been proving itself, and that if we are at the door, at the threshold of the 7,000 period, I can see what this newness of life is. It is what Mrs. Eddy shows in the textbook, where it says, it revealed that God is life. That God is life. Not that the organs give life and have life and are life. Not that our business life is life. Not that our family life is life. The only life there is the method of life going to mind, going to spirit, going to soul. Going to it wherever we are, whatever we do, wherever we are, whatever has to be fulfilled. And so we see that the word of God, the word of life, can only be fulfilled by going the word of life. that the word of life, that word of life which is that great word of creation from mind to love, that word of life, that we can only go that word of life by going through that word of life. You see, in any other science, we don't need to do that. If we take mathematics or physics or anything, we can demonstrate that science only through brain, by knowing it. Only through brain, only through mind. We only need one synonymous term, mind. If I know mathematics, that's quite enough to demonstrate mathematics. Besides that, I can do what I like to do. I can be what I like to be. I can cheat and I can lie. I can do whatever I like to be. I can demonstrate it. But in science, it's different. In science, we can only go the way of life. We can only demonstrate the word of life by going the whole way of life. By going the whole way of life. What is the whole way of life? The whole way of life, as we have seen in the first four chapters, have always the ground tone which says, start with mind. Wherever you are, whatever you do, whatever the proposition is, with whatever you are faced, the method of life says, start with the divine mind. Says, go to mind. If you go to mind as spirit. Namely, go to mind as spirit, as that which you adore as the only, and worship it as the only, and trust it as the only. Let it be the adorable one. And as you go to the spirit, go it with through the way of soul. Namely, that don't give in. Be perseverant in it, in this adoration, and becomes definite in you. It begins to speak in you, and you begin to feel the representative in you. And by sticking to that sense of soul, the way of life always says, then go to principle. Let that representative in you be your ruler, be your prince. Let that be your government. Let that govern you in every detail. And in going through principle in that way of life, it always says, well, by going to that principle and letting that principle rule in me and rule in me in every detail, it rules in me very differently than what my personal sense up to now has ruled. Very differently than what my concept of organic life has been ruling in me, of family life has been ruling in me, of business life has been ruling in me. It rules you in a different way, in a new way, in a completely new way. Not in a way that is a bit better than the old one. It's not an improved old one, it's new, completely different. Principle says, I rule in a very different way than your personal sense rules. And so I come to the fifth of life, to a newness of life, to completely new purpose of life, a new vision of life, a new circumference of life, an exalted standpoint in life, which is quite different from the other. And as I go to that life, I always go to that life. That makes a new man of me because it takes away the old way of life. It separates me from the old way of life, from the old concept of life. And so the tone of truth comes and brings the final separation, the two-edged sword, which establishes a very new form of my being and of my life. And as it does that, I always come to the last point where I say, and how lovely that is. So adapted to the situation, so appropriate to the situation. It's the best thing that could ever happen to me. It's love. that is adaptable and lovely for the situation. This, you see, I've now gone through the way of life. I've gone through the word of life, showing that that is the only way, whatever our whatever the situation is. You see, but that going to that, that's only the only method of life. And she says there is only one life, so there is only one method, one principled method of life, and that's the only living. Now what that will mean, I will come back to it when I have done prayer. But for this moment, just let's be clear about the bigness of the purpose when we set the beginning right. That if we set the beginning correctly and unadulterated, that then something very new, the newness of life, something very new comes out. It isn't that we have some sort of life and that we would like that to be improved. If we like to do that, that's tilling the soil. The newness of life of which Jesus spoke, and the newness of life of which science speaks, is a complete new sense of life, not an improved sense of a false life, sense of life. And this new sense of life is our ability to go always the way of life, to go always through the word of life. And that's the point. Now, I have taken out of the combination of life in and of spirit life. Now, what does it mean in combination to spirit? I put the talks not only under the tone of life as the way of life, but as life in and of spirit. And what do I mean with that? I mean with that something very different. And if I would put it under the heading of life as mind, what would life as mind be? And I want to make a point out of this. If I write a book on the textbook, as I have done, the structure on the textbook, that's presenting to the reader the textbook as a way of life. But it's only presenting it. Mind presents always. For the reader, it can be various things. For the reader, if he only reads it and studies it, it's only mind, because he only studies it and reads it. Because mind is that which studies and investigates and reads and so on. You get the tone of mind. So, as long as I would present what I have done, what we have done together in writing, I would have had the danger that it would have stayed on the point of mind, seeing the way of life from the point of view of mind. From reading, presenting, studying, discussing it, being interested in it, and so on. Which is all necessary, which is all very necessary, which is most necessary, which is super important, and there is nothing to say against that, but it's the beginning. It's not spirit yet. But what I really wanted to do, because I could see that in my life and in other students' life, one is tempted to read a lot and to study a lot. And I think at the beginning this is necessary. I think when a student comes into science for the first few years, he has just to do that. I think, perhaps I may be wrong, but it seems that first he has to get a bird's eye view, so to say, of what this subject is, with what this subject is dealing with. But then comes a point where this this view, if it stays there, grows stale and becomes dead. Dead as a dodo, Mr. Dolly would say, I think. Becomes dead. Because the life-giving quality of mind, says Mrs. Eddy, is spirit. And the life-giving quality of mind as spirit, that's the point at which I wanted to conduct these meetings. I wanted that we not only listen to what I had to say, that one not only read what I have written on this subject in the book, that one not only read in the textbook on the subject which we have been discussing, but what I wanted really to introduce and to stress more is spirit, to give birth to that vision. First must be the vision. That's the way of life. It goes first to mind and sets the mind clear and straight and illumined. Then it must not halt. It must go on in the way of life. And going on, we come to spirit, to give birth to this idea. How? Spirit is the life-giving quality of mind. She also says, spirit duly feeds and clothes every object as it appears in the line of spiritual creation. See, we must give to this vision and to this study some substance. It must be closed. And she says, only spirit can close it. Just as spirit is the life-giving faculty. What is this spirit? Spirit isn't just a term, just a few letters. Spirit stands there for the whole sense of birth, of giving birth to one's true identity. Giving birth to that presentation of mind. But how can we give birth to it? Well, through the qualities of spirit. Spirit is that which is good. Therefore, through the qualities of spirit. And so, I see, she says, that to one born of the flesh, science must be a discovery. That's mind. Science must first be a discovery. Then she goes on and says, woman must give it birth. We can't stop at a presentation. Therefore we can't stop by going to talks. We can't stop by reading other people's books. That's the beginning, that's right, that's important, that's necessary, that's all right. But it's not going the whole way of life, it's just beginning the way of life. And the next step is to give birth to what one has seen. And that's the point which I felt we should culture. And that's why I gave always those 8 weeks in between. Because, sorry, I have to stop here.